Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst, the trailer breaking up Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, a West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history, the West Ham United, more than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is more than just a podcast.
Radio.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst, the trailer booking and Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, a West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history, the West Ham United, more than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon. This is more than just a podcast.
Brady out.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst, the trailer booking and Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history, the West Ham United, more than just a podcast.
Good afternoon, good evening, or good morning. This is more than just a podcast.
Listen, we're going to be here all night.
Are you not Brady out anymore, Shoney Warney? Sean.
Come on, crack on with the show.
Podcast. Yeah, I'll get on with it.
It is season 10. It is episode 14. And we're back with three presenters this evening. We've got Nigel. Where are you and what are you doing?
I'm in my living room.
Oh. I loaded the shed man.
It's playing.
It can't, wouldn't it?
It's oh. Yeah, I'd it, yeah.
Shed man. I just can't play it now.
Well, yeah.
I can't. So, and with us tonight,
it's flustered you,
isn't it? Town Len. Yeah, it has flustered me. It's Canning Town Len. Where are you? What are you doing, Lenny boy?
I'm in the living room doing a podcast.
Oh, it's a living room. It's a living room special. No, John. He's got house problems. No, George. He's out tonight. So it's just the three of us. So it's a 4.5 hour special. And we've got a little football game to discuss. We're on a roll. Do you remember what I said last week? It's a start something special. For the last 2 weeks, we can beat or draw anyone on their day. And didn't we prove it with Man City?
Yeah, we did.
Nigel, discuss.
Yeah, done very well. Better than I thought we'd do, to be fair. Even going 1-0 up too early. Not that
too I'd... early. Can you go up too early?
I said so early.
Oh, so early. Okay.
I tried a little thing because obviously the one kickoff throughout the old weekend I can't make the start of is the 12:30 kickoff.
Could you sell him pies?
I'm buying the pie master.
The pie man.
So I sort of set up my laptop, plugged it into my telly, watched the Joe Cole bit at the beginning. He was good, Joe Cole, on the BT Sport. Go round the market. I paused it. Let's see if it works. Come back an hour later. Nah, it don't work. Can't pause the live stream and press play again. Not for an hour. So it meant I got to just watch the second half. Obviously, I've seen the first half highlights as such. Fantastic goal by Antonio. Great cross from Kufau, I believe it was.
It was an assist by Kufau.
Yeah.
You're right.
And
Kufau, you've made me say Kufau.
I know.
Actually, Slava Prague have confirmed today it's Sufau. They've actually told Florida Hammer on Twitter, who asked, it is Sufau.
So is Sucek not Sucek then? Sucek.
He's Socek. Socek. So they've also confirmed he's Socek. He's Socek.
So Sucek is not Sucek then?
No, he's Socek.
Hold up, Caesar S's.
Look, I'm just telling you what Slava Prague say.
I'm going by
the Czech Republic.
What do they know? They can't speak English, can they? They're bleeding
Czech. I've written an article on Clarence Hugh about
it. Of course you have, Sean.
Yeah, of course I have.
Dear, oh dear. Anyway, Socek, great cross by Kufau, whatever his bloody name is.
Sufau.
Yeah. And I don't know what you... it's more of a scissors kick than an overhead kick. I remember Tony Cotty getting a blinding goal like that once against the Forest, I think. Yeah.
Heavy touch there by Socek, but he's still able to keep it in. Yeah. Sufau in towards Antonio. Oh, that's brilliant! What a goal from Mikel Antonio! Excellent ball in. And Mikel Antonio with a spectacular goal to make it West Ham 1, Manchester City 0.
Just in case you forgot.
Mikel Antonio. So even the commentator can't get the names right. If you don't get the English names right, if it is an English name, how's it going to be made
Michael. Just
a foul?
No, but
I always thought it was Michael, first of all.
Yeah, or Mikel.
Anyway, you didn't watch the first half.
Well, no, I
didn't watch the second half.
But I watched the second half. And we defended very well. I thought there was, in the build-up to the goal.
Whose goal?
Manchester City's goal.
Foden.
There's a bit of me that thinks if Antonio hadn't pulled up, I think he would have closed the ball down before it went out wide. If you take it back to the beginning when they're building, as the central defender's got the ball, normally you'd expect Antonio to hassle him. Antonio's signalling to the bench he's got to come off. He lays it out wide. The ball goes wide, comes over to Foden. A nice turn by him and goal. Even though when you're a goalkeeper, you've got to be disappointed when you're at the near post and you get beaten at the near post. But perhaps that's the shot. More than anything, you think, oh, here we go. I've tuned in to the right half. The floodgates are going to open. Typical Man City. You know, they've never failed to score four goals at the London Stadium until Saturday. And all in all, a very proud performance by the team. And another, step in the right direction to show that the Moyes the Moyes way it looks to be a good way to go.
Yeah, I mean, another defence. I mean, we hung on for dear life in the second half. Sufau, brilliant. You know, you wouldn't believe we bought him £4.5 million from Slava Prague. And I wrote an article to say...
Did you?
Yeah. Forget Ryan Fredericks. He ain't getting back in the team. Forget Ben Johnson. He ain't getting a sniff. While Sufau is is fit.
But you
and
say
who,
that.
Who
but
even
both
remembers
of him,
Jeremy Ngakia? Yeah, but he's not better than Jeremy Ngakia, I think. Truth be known. Go on.
He's 28 years of age, and the others have got more of a future at the football club. He's a short-term fix. And but the, because
short
the
term,
fact,
28 is not that old.
Oh,
wish I was 28.
Me too.
Yeah.
I wish I was.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish I was 38.
Well, I am round the waist.
Me too. Wish but, I was 48.
But at some point, you know, he is a short-term fix. He, 2-3 years max. That's what you get out.
£4.5 million though.
Worth it. Absolutely, all day long. Well worth it.
Considering, you know, we'll talk about that later. We're going to talk about the Pellegrini effect later. Let's talk about the game. So, you know, good performance. Balbuena, again, looking to keep Diop out. You don't see him getting back in the team any time soon. Cresswell coming back into form again. It's hard to see. You know, that's the third time I think he started that same starting lineup. I don't see him changing it anytime soon. And
why should he?
Beyond Mickey, who's likely to be rested or injured, and we'll talk about that later. I don't think he's changing the back four or five, you know, three, four, five, anytime soon. Why are we defending better? Are we getting better tactics against our opposition? A lot of commentators said, you know, we really set up well for City. Nigel?
I don't know if it's the move to having more, you know, I will now admit perhaps it's more of a five than a four.
Oof. Jeez.
Even though it is fluid, and I believe it transforms into a four as we move forward, with Matuaku being wide.
Man admits he was wrong.
Not such wrong, but just tweaking it slightly to the fact that Matuaku against Man City played very much, and I think it does change from team to team. Obviously, his defensive duties came more to the forefront than his attacking duty. So therefore, it did look like we had five at the back.
A lot of people said it was his 100th appearance, that he was probably one of the best appearances we saw. Not only did we see Arthur Masuaku defend, we saw him go forward against City, and that comedy moment when he took on three Man City players, went round in a circle. Very unorthodox, but everybody was just singing his praises. And he put in major blocks against Mahrez and who else did he put a block in against? When it was just about to open up.
I think it shows for me that sometimes, and this is the thing, I get that social media, specifically Twitter, it's all about commenting on what you're seeing there and then. But, you know, for weeks and weeks, Creswell and Masuaku were absolutely slaughtered on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And now they are the basis of possibly the best defence we've had for the past 3 or 4 years. So it goes to show you that with the right manager in place, coaching, set up, tactics, that these players can come good, and just jettison them, you know, thank God, you know, the club isn't run by the fans. That's what I say.
Yeah, thank God for that.
They are fans, aren't they?
Well, yeah, very good. If you say
very
so.
Good. possession.
You got Sovid, Sean?
Well, I am. You say that. I've been tested, but I'm negative, and my missus was tested, and her daughter, after there was an outbreak at... that's final whistle. Oh. Who scored West Brom's goal? Grant. Not Diagana. Man City's possession was 70%. West Ham, obviously, that meant we only had 30% at home. We had 6 shots, 2 on target, 1 went in. They had 14 shots, 7 on target, 1 went in. I didn't think Fabianski had that much to do. Len, did you see the first half and the second half?
I sure did.
Yeah, talk to us. Terry Tibbs, talk to us.
What do you want to know, Sean? I'm watching them with a renewed sense of confidence.
Well, it was a game of two halves, wasn't it? Right, so you know,
every football game
when we went one nil up, I thought, you know, we were in the live table, we're in Champions League position, we were third in the league.
No, there's no such thing as that. You know that.
Yeah, live table, we were third in the league. If the world had ended there, we were in Champions League place. If the world had ended, but it didn't end. It went on, and they came back as often is in football. It was a game of two halves. We had the best of the first half. They had the best of the second half. So, talk to us about the game of two halves, Len. Talk about the emotions, the roller coaster against Man City.
Listen, there isn't a roller coaster anymore. It's just a nice, peaceful watching something that works, nicely oiled, well drilled, and I'm enjoying it. And it's something that I never saw when we went in at the ground there. So, whether that falls apart when we come back, who knows? Right now, I'm enjoying it. It's so neat and tidy. And that's about it. I don't know. What's this? What's going on here?
I don't know. He's Nigel's sending something.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm enjoying it. That's all I can say. So I don't think there was too much of a roller coaster. We get forward well. So there's more goal action. But there wasn't too much of it against City.
Goals are fun, apparently.
They are fun. They are fun.
And they don't come funner than Mikel Antonio, another wonder goal.
The quality of the goal, I know it doesn't make any difference, but lately it's been exceptional, hasn't it?
It has.
I mean, we got a couple of goal of the season contenders there.
I mean, I was happy that we got to 16 minutes and we weren't 3-0 down. Because as Nigel said, well, it does matter.
Oh, we can come back.
Oh no! I've just seen we dropped down in the second half of the table.
Who cares? It's bleeding.
We're in 11th now. 8 points. We're on 11th. I can't believe it.
Why would you let that get on your nerves? We're playing so well.
Because I want to be top.
By me and Stel in the best episode ever, Sugar Babes.
Oh, don't keep on going. Strong start. So anyway, what else? What else? Is there anything else for you to say about this game? Or is it just, great watch. We defended well. Good shifting. Let's talk about Declan Rice before I let you go, Len.
Okay.
Declan Rice, born leader. Another really confident interview afterwards. He seems to be loving it. Oh, absolutely loving it.
Yeah.
Why would he want to go to Chelsea and sit on the bench?
Oh, I don't think he'd sit on the bench. I didn't see the interview. Well, why did he sound confident?
I just think he's showing emotion. He just has that big grin on in his face. And everybody I talk to say he just loves it. I'll tell you a funny story, actually. A guy I work with said to me, Declan Rice came to see me on Sunday. I said, what do you mean? He plays over the park in, like, Epsom in Surrey. And he said, they're a Sunday league team. And he was playing, you know, they're in a nothing league. And apparently one of Declan's mates, because you probably know Declan was born in Kingston in Surrey, and he currently lives in Chessington in Surrey. He's moving to Banstead. So he's a Surrey boy, is Declan. And he just turned up on the sidelines and watched... watched a game of Sunday League football, and he said Declan then sent our team a message on Instagram afterwards and wished us all the luck for the best of the season. So, you know, I think the guy just loves football.
Yeah.
And I think that was a funny story, Sean. Well, it was not a funny story, but maybe it's not a funny story, but I still think, you know, he's always been in Surrey. You can't read anything that he's going to go to Chelsea on that. And I think West Ham means a lot to him. We gave him his chance. He's now the captain. I think we're going to give him another deal. And I just think this is where he needs to stay for now. You know, he doesn't want to go off. Too early for him to go. He's 21 years old, right? He's already played 100 appearances. He doesn't want to go off to Chelsea now. He can do that in the future. He's got a long time ahead of him.
He's going to listen to you, isn't he, Sean?
Well, I hope so. I hope he does.
I hope not.
It's an avid Clarence Hume,
doesn't it? Dear, oh dear.
Do you know what? Saying that, Declan did message me once. I put a tweet up.
Don't take that down.
That's exactly what he said. I once put a tweet. Oh, sorry, I'm coughing away.
You're soughing away over there.
I once put a tweet up with him with a knife in his mouth while he was on holiday. And he messaged me and he said, can you take that down, pal? And I said, yeah, sure. No problems. And I took it down. That was my one.
Of course, most people wouldn't have put it up in the first place, but still, hey-ho, it's content.
Hey-ho, it was content.
When you say he had a knife in his mouth, was he like eating and was like, oh, I don't want my mum to see that I put my knife in my mouth?
He was eating. He was in one of these, I don't know, abroad somewhere. He was eating steak from a great big, like, knife. I don't mean like a normal steak knife, a like big, like, carving knife. Oh, and okay. It was like, And I just took a shot from the video and put it up.
Was the sharp video end down in his mouth or did he have the blunt
sharp
side?
The sharp end was in his mouth, yeah.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Yeah. That is dangerous, which is probably why he asked me to take it down. Anyway, anywho, another draw, onwards and upwards, Liverpool next. They've lost Van Dijk. They've been having sleepless nights. Apparently, since Van Dijk has been injured by Pickford, they're playing. They're in the Champions League tomorrow night as well, aren't they?
Yeah,
are they? Yes, they are.
Mittyland or something.
Could be Wednesday. Mittyland?
No, yeah, tomorrow it is.
Mittyland, isn't it? Mittyland or something like
that. Yeah,
yeah. So we've got a little bit more. I fancy we could turn them over. You know.
No, well, Anfield, what was it, 81 games they're unbeaten now, I heard the same. I did like the sound of that.
What do you mean,
unbeaten record?
Unbeaten.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, I know, we did it before, 50 years.
Yeah, but they're unbeaten at home, I think. It
52 years, Sean, to be precise.
You were there, weren't you?
I was there, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Possibly anyway, the greatest away day out.
Let's talk other news. Mikel Antonio had a scan today. We don't. I sorry.
Goodness,
I need to cough. I need to go and get tests. Look, I'm going to plead the fifth at the moment without my song. I think we all know that Mikel Antonio has had a number of problems with his hamstring in the Spurs match. He came off and his leg was strapped up with ice and strapped up when he came and celebrated. And I was told by the club, oh, that's normal. You know, we always strap his leg up and put ice on it. But he obviously felt a tweak and he trained. As Nigel said, he pulled up again, strapped up again, had a scan today. I think it's too early to say, and if I'm honest, I've been asked not to say what's going on, but whether
don't know.
Well, whether he's fit or not.
6 weeks, isn't it? He's out.
Whether he's fit or not, I don't think he should play on against Liverpool anyway. I think he needs to rest. I think he has a special training regime and we need a plan B. I don't know what that plan B is. But I'd like to put one forward and see what you say. That I've got two plan Bs.
Go on, Rapper,
my first plan B is I'm a big lover of Yarmolenko, who, by the way, congratulations, Yarmolenko. He had a baby.
Did he?
With his wife.
Judging by Saturday, I'm surprised he managed that. I'm surprised he didn't put that one wide as well.
He had his birthday the day before he was 31, and the next day, obviously, his wife was about to drop, so I think he could be forgiven on. He played on the Saturday.
Come on, Shoney, he struggles to shoot at times. Come on.
Sorry?
He does struggle to shoot at times, doesn't he?
Jesus Christ.
So anyway, my first plan B is, and I got this stat from you, Yarmolenko is the second best goal scorer for Ukraine. I hope that's true, because I've been repeating that a load of times.
I did say that last week, yes.
Yeah, and he played striker for or forward for Dynamo Kiev. So I say start him up front against Liverpool. Or here's my other harebrained scheme. Start Allaire, who looked completely disinterested, by the way. We didn't mention that. On completely disinterested. Wrote an article, the £45 million elephant in the room, I wrote yesterday. Got a big response to that. Play Allaire, but play Benrahma up with him to support him. I don't know who else you drop. You probably drop Fornals, do you? They're my two ideas. What's your plan B, Nigel?
My plan B? Well, they've got a system that's working, so you only want to tinker with it. So there's two ways of looking at it. You could possibly put Bowen up front in the Antonio role and bring in Benrahma.
That's interesting.
Or I'm not brave enough to just put Benrahma straight in up front, I must admit, without seeing him.
No.
So for me, it's possible that Yarmolenko, when I've seen him play up front, hasn't done it for me. So it's possible for me to put Yarmolenko out wide and put Bowen in the Antonio role. The thing about Antonio, though, it's not just his shooting ability, the actual power of the player.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that is what we lose. Not just his goal scoring ability, the actual power of him, where he can get through people and everything. So, right, Yarmolenko, 38 goals up for the Ukraine.
Yeah, wow.
Second behind Shevchenko, who's got 48. But the next player's only got 21 goals. And Rebrov only got 15. So that stat I gave you was right.
Good. I'm glad. Len.
Yeah.
It's always hard to go last because I've given two plan Bs. So has Nigel. Now you've got to try and come up with some wacky plan B, like, I don't know, put Masuaku up front.
How about David Martin up front? No, to be honest, I think you've either got to consider, you've got to keep the system because the system's working. So you've either got to, well, I don't have to do anything. David Moyes, as I'd have to choose Haller, show a bit of faith in him and try and give him a chance to prove or disprove himself, which one way, or choose Yarmolenko. I'm trying to think who else you could possibly play up there.
Could you bring in Lanzini somewhere and push one of the others up front?
But you're making wholesale changes then, really.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Who cares? You know, we just got to see what happens.
Who cares?
I mean, it's a blow. And Tony, everyone's been saying the moment he gets injured, it's going to be a blow for the reasons that Nigel said. So, we'll wait and see. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a telltale, isn't it? When we see the lineup, it's going to say a lot about what Moyes thinks about Haller or Yarmolenko.
Yeah.
Because I do agree, he didn't look, his body language looks like a man who's not that interested.
No. And Joe Cole said, the mood has never been better at West Ham than it is now. Coley told BT Sport viewers, I've been to West Ham many times since I've retired, and I've never been there when there was such good mood as there is now. The lad seems to be very happy. David is full of optimism. I think West Ham are in a really good position.
He interviewed Moyes before the game. There was that they played a videotape of an interview that he'd done this week with Moyes. A good interview. If you, I don't know if BT Sport will show it. So it's probably the first time I've ever sat and watched the beginning on a BT Sport game. And to be fair, they had Joe Cole, Jolyon Lescott, and they were both pretty decent, to be fair. I quite enjoyed it. It was just a shame because it's terrible, really. When West Ham are playing now, I hate going to Stratford. I really do detest it. But, you know, that's where they are, so that's what I've got to do. I just miss going there. I was sitting there watching it. I'd done my deliveries. I had an hour to spare before I had to be back round the market. And I thought, oh, let me put it on. And watching them stand there in that empty stadium, you know, I just wanted to be there.
Did you really? It's coming back, is it? I suppose it ever went away.
I don't know if you've got a German bit, but I've just done an article tonight about Union Berlin. Had 4,500 people on Saturday. Yeah. Biggest crowd so far in Germany since Project Restart, and et cetera. And,
I don't think it's the biggest crowd, is it? Is it not the biggest percentage of crowd allowed into a stadium?
Well, I was told it's the biggest crowd, unless you and your experts are going to correct me. But interestingly, the Berlin rate is rising. So it's around about 121 infection rate per 100,000, where in Neum at the moment last week was 141. So it's not a lot of difference. And yet the health authorities still permitted 4,500 fans in, socially distanced, of course, as long as they wore masks all the time, not just sitting in the, you know, out of their seats, but all the time. That to wear for the whole length for the game, walking up and everything. So and they can do it in Berlin.
They've got a more compact stadium.
Sorry?
And they've got a more compact stadium.
Yeah, agreed. I guess it depends on how they get to the stadium. I don't know the Union Berlin ground and how.
Yeah, it's the problem we've got there is because the only way to go to Stratford is by train. You've got that problem. I mean,
or Swan Pedlow.
In theory, you know, you could easily let 10,000 in to Stratford. You could easily. They could have 10,000, but while the rates are going up, and I haven't looked at them at the past couple of days, so I've been really busy working, so I don't know what the rates are doing at the moment. They're still going up and up.
Yeah, well, they are at the moment, yeah.
Then, you know, at the end of the day, you ain't going to, you know, we've got more chance of another lockdown coming than we have. It's the first time I've really noticed it on the building site I've been on. I got told today, the job's coming to an end, but I got told today someone I was working with closely last week tested positive at the weekend.
Yeah, I'm getting to know people now.
And that's
people
the first
at schools,
person. That's
people at work, people are, you know, yeah.
So I can't see it being allowed. I think realistically, rather than clinging on to whatever, I think we've just got to accept March will be the earliest. Mm-hmm. We've just got to accept what goes on.
Yeah. I'm researching an article on what everybody's done on their season tickets, and I haven't quite finished it, so I'm not going to talk about it today. But some people still haven't announced how they're going to refund money. Do you know that? Including Newcastle in particular. But there was another club that has taken the money. About a third of the clubs never sold season tickets in the first place, which I thought was very interesting.
Well, it's a twofold thing there, really, isn't it? In that, how much the reason why West Ham went down the season ticket route to take the money weren't because they probably ever thought they'd have people in March, even though Brady was open or whatever, was they needed the cash flow. and that is, you know, that is what it was.
One thing I'll tell you, one that I remember, I looked at Burnley's, and Burnley are offering a full refund from the 1st of November, and it will take 3 to 5 days. But do you know what? If you take the full refund, one, you can't apply for any tickets in the ballot if football returns this season, and two, you can't you're not guaranteed to have your season ticket price frozen for next year. For the people who decide to keep the money fully in the club, they do get automatically entered into a ballot if football returns, and the season ticket price is frozen for next year.
I thought that happened anyway. The season ticket was frozen anyway before they offered you option three.
No, we're talking about Burnley.
Oh, sorry, mate.
Pirates. Yeah. I've been looking what other clubs are doing, and it's you know, we think maybe West Ham always, you know, connive and do the work. But I tell you what, there's a lot worse out there, and I'll be
But for me, that's finger pointing, Sean. That's don't worry about what we're doing. Technique. Look at them over there.
Yeah.
Look over there.
That's a diversionary tactic.
It's not a diversionary tactic.
It is a diversionary tactic.
Hang on.
And while we got you on the ropes, are you still Brady out?
Brady out!
Are you still Brady out? Okay.
Of course I am.
You say of course I am.
I've been Brady out all season.
Yeah, what about if she phones you up? You're still going to be Brady out? Are you going to be, hello, Karen? What can I do for you? Anything to help you, Karen?
We don't talk anymore. She never calls. She never rings. No birthday cards. No Christmas cards.
What you used to get?
No prawn sandwiches. No kisses.
It's so funny,
no hugs.
Why we don't talk anymore.
Let's talk on. Look, I'll give a check now to, or a credit to Stel, because he messaged me the other day and said, got an idea for you, Sean. Is David Moyes picking off the Pellegrini signings one by one? And I said, he said, I'm going to talk about it on Sunday night. So, of course, on Sunday morning, I wrote an article about it ahead of his thing. So.
He says proudly.
Sorry, Stel.
Yeah.
and I called it the diminishing effect of the Pellegrini signing. So, it is, if you remember, Pellegrini was appointed West Ham manager on the 22nd of May 2018, and he was sacked on the 28th of December 2019. In his first season, these are who he signed: Philippe Anderson, 34 million, Yarmolenko, 18 million, Fabianski, 7, Diop, 22, Perez, 4, Balbuena, 3.5, Silva, 1.5, Jack Wilshere, 3, Roberto, 3, Sanchez, 3, Ryan Fredericks, 3, and Sami Nasri, 3. In his second season, he signed Allaire, 45 million, Fornals, 25, Ejetti, 8, and Cordoso, 2.5. So, on Saturday, obviously, only three players started the game: Fabianski, Barbarena, and Fornals. £35 million between them. £85 million on the bench, not being used, in the form of Allaire, Diop, and Yarmolenko. And just to remind you, Wilshere, Perez, Roberto, Sanchez, Nasri, Ejetti, Longon, Anderson on loan, Silva on loan. So if Benrahma comes in and replaces Fornals, that's just going to leave two in Fabianski and Balbuena. That's under 10 million. The suggestion was, right, and I sort of got it, is David Moyes deliberately picking off the Pellegrini signings one by one to shape his own squad? Discuss, Nigel.
No. I don't think he's doing it
deliberately. Rubbish idea then, still.
No, not a rubbish idea. I don't think he's doing it deliberately. At the end of the day, he's playing Balbuena.
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays Yarmolenko's part of the squad. whether these players, you know, the players that he's letting go, do they fit in or have they earned the right to fit into the way Moyes wants to play football? Then the answer is no. But then again, that's because they're chalk and cheese, Pellegrini and Moyes. Like Moyes was before Pellegrini, was chalk and cheese. So that's where Pellegrini had to spend money to bring players in. Pellegrini to Moyes, Moyes to Bilic, Bilic to Allardyce, Allardyce to Grant, Grant to Zola. All totally different managers. And that's why we've got a high throughfare of players constantly in the 10 years that they've owned the club. And that's why the club is in the financial position it's in, because they spend so much money trading players badly, buying the wrong type of players, never having a manager long enough for him to be able to build a team properly, getting rid of the manager and then hiring a totally different style of manager who can't use, or who wants to play football in a certain way and can't use the players that he's got. So he needs to bring his in. If you look at the signings Moyes has made, maybe not Craig Dawson, but like Ben Rama, Bowen, Kufal, who else did he sign? Suchek. You know, he's moulding all first team starters apart from Craig Dawson. So all now, Moyes, in the 6 months that he's been here, is beginning to mould the team. And it's paying off. So hopefully, you know, they'll sit down with him, you know, at the end of the season or before, or once they get the points. Once they get the 40 points.
He doesn't need to. He's got an automatic extension. He actually hinted it. If you go back to the original, I know you don't read Clarence News, you won't have read the piece I wrote about David Gold today. How, you know, obviously, David Gold and David Moyes are very close. And David Gold was the one who pushed for Moyes in the first place. Didn't really want him to leave. In fact, he did a TV interview just before they announced Pellegrini and said, I hope we can sit down with him and work something out. And a few days later, Pellegrini was announced. But we won't dwell on that. He later said, David Gold, he said, and I'm going to quote him, in January 2020, he was doing a TalkSport interview on the 10-year anniversary. He said, I really like working with David Moyes the first time around in different circumstances. It was just that a unique opportunity to bring someone of that stature, Manuel Pellegrini, came in that precluded us from keeping David. Don't forget, David Gold has had a six-month contract at the end of the season, and he fulfilled that. It's not like we sacked him. We didn't sack him. But personally, and with hindsight, I would have liked to have kept him. And a few people have said that. And maybe it's a little bit of knee-jerk, flip-flop reaction that he's having a bit of a run. But what could have happened if Pellegrini hadn't come in and David Moyes would have stayed? Do you think he would still be in that position now? Do you think we would be in, I know, Europa League this season? Do you think he would have got sacked by now because he got us relegated? Nigel, start with you.
It's hard to predict what would have happened in the future, what might have been. You know, if Moyes had stayed first time, I don't think we'd have gone through last season. To be fair, I don't think we would have done. I don't think we'd have had that. But it's weird because Pellegrini, I think, made a solid start in his first season. Finished, where did he finish? Did he get 10th, Pellegrini?
I think he did finish 10th, yeah.
So get us 10th, top 10 finish. You can't complain about that in his first season. And in the second season, all was going well until Fabianski got got injured, and then Roberto went in goal. And then the wheels literally came off of Pellegrini's team. And it's mad to say, but the fact is that Roberto was a Pellegrini signing, and it cost him his job.
Yeah.
And in a way, you could look at it and go, well, in a way,
That was but Hamilton quite was Allaire. Right. Allaire hasn't worked out, and it doesn't matter whether.
But you say that Allaire went in the first flushes of the season, got 3 or 4 goals. So he looked when we were playing well up until the end of September, when the Bournemouth game. We looked quite good. We got 2-2 draw with Bournemouth, but Fabianski goes off injured. Yeah. Next we have Oxford in the cup, the 4-0 debacle, you know, and then the season just fell away, and the Burnley game with Roberto literally punching the ball into his own goal, and I think the defenders lost faith in Roberto. Everybody lost faith, you know, and they had to bring David Martin into the team, who was only supposed to be, you know, he wasn't even supposed to be the cup goalkeeper. And here he is brought in to play first team football against Chelsea.
Well, I tell you what, I've just looked. Remember, Pellegrini went to Real Betis. They've lost 4 out of their last 5 games. He's in 10th because out of his 7 games, he won some early games. He won 2.
It's possible he's had his day. It's possible. It's quite funny, you know, that yesterday
in La Liga, you'd expect him to be, you know, if he's gone into La Liga, to be not losing 4 out of 5 games.
No, but yesterday it was, I mean, it was 2014. So what's 2014? 6 years to the day. We beat Man City 2-1. Champions Man City 2-1 under the sloth. If I'm being polite about him, he was managing us at the time. And
that's very harsh.
Was that harsh? Was it the sloth? Well, anyway,
yeah.
That BFS, if I'm being polite.
I beg your pardon. I thought you were talking about Slaven.
No. 2014, yeah, it was the sloth last year. I was surprised when you said that. It was a bit harsh. But Pellegrini was in the dugout for Man City. So if Allardyce can do a number on Pellegrini. And there's a thing about Pellegrini is he won the title in his first season at Man City. And when you look at it, you know, 90% of that team was bought by Mancini or Mark Hughes.
Yeah.
And actually, when you look at Pellegrini's signings at Man City, a lot of them turned out to be duds.
There you go. I think his time's come, and I don't think he's going to last at Real Betis. I might be wrong, but...
Still early, you know. He can still turn it around, but I don't think he's the manager. I don't feel conned. It's weird, you know. He went to Real Madrid. He done well with me at Real Madrid. And then Man City brought him in for whatever reason. I don't know if that was the season that Pep went to Bayern Munich. So perhaps he was brought in because they really wanted Pep and thought, well, let him do his 3 years in Germany and then we'll have Pellegrini. And Pellegrini won the title in his first season. I said it was done off the back of Mancini's team. And then I think he finished runners-up in another season, won an FA Cup, but never really set the world alight with that Man City team.
No. I was told Pellegrini wasn't really a disciplinarian and didn't really like taking training that much.
Yeah, but that's an old story trotted out every time they replace the manager, Sean. And well, it may be true.
I was told that Slaven Bilic was a nice guy and also not a disciplinarian.
Right, and this is the thing.
But I can tell you now, David Moyes is a disciplinarian and he keeps on talking about this. He is very strict on people turning up for training or they get fined or they get dropped. He's strict on people training hard in training and not just taking it easy as some people do and doing their gym work and eating the right foods. And apparently this is the reason he won't let Benrahma come straight on. And the same, he did the same with Bowen when Gerard, I always call him Gerard and it's not Gerard, Gerard Bowen came on. He didn't play. I think for the first 19 games, he didn't even, make it on. When he made his debut, it
first
was like
19
10
games.
Minutes.
First 19 games.
19 days. Sorry, 19 days. He didn't. He signed on the 31st of January. He didn't come on to the 19th, didn't make his debut until the 19th of February. And that was only for 10 minutes. Next game, I think, was like 6 minutes. And then he got, a start against Southampton.
Scored, didn't he?
I think it was Southampton. Scored, but was taken off after 78 minutes. He didn't get his full debut of full 90 minutes until the 20th of June when football returned against Arsenal. Do you know that? True story, bro. So he believes, and he said this in lots of interviews recently, and we're going back to Benrahma, the player has to be ready. In his view, the player has to be ready. Now, with Soufal, he didn't have a lot of an option because he didn't have a right back, so he threw him straight in. But I don't know. I think he's going to be guarded with Benrahma, slightly different. And I think he is a disciplinarian, and he will expect a lot of his players that we didn't get with Pellegrini and we didn't get with Slaven Bilic. I don't know. Before that, I don't know whether Sam Allardyce was a disciplinarian. I don't know whether Harry Redknapp or Zola was a disciplinarian. You might be able to tell me. But he's an old-fashioned manager who was schooled under, well, not schooled, but in the guise of Fergie, so Alex Ferguson, of a no-nonsense, I expect you to respect me, and doesn't really believe in player power. Or are you saying I'm all wrong? And it's just a little bit of propaganda every time a manager gets sacked.
No, you're probably right, Sean, even though it took you bleeding forever to get there. Yeah.
Didn't I?
But the problem is, Sean, is we have heard this before. Yeah. Trotted out when they change a manager. Oh, they trot out the negative stuff about the old manager, why he had to go, this new manager's da da da. So we've heard this excuse all before. So actually, we don't care. We don't.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's so what? Because we've heard it all before. Tell us something true. New, because it ain't true new. That. They've said it about every other manager they've sacked. And they'll say it about Moyes when they finally get rid of him. Oh, it was this, it was that. He'd lost the dressing room. You know, they've got a phrase book that they've used. They've built up in 30 years of football of winning nothing. And all they've got is this phrase book they can trot out.
All right. Before we move on to questions or anything else, let me ask you both one question before we move on. If you had the power to offer Moyes a 3-year contract tomorrow, would you, Nigel?
Yes.
Len.
Yeah, I would.
And so would I.
I'd say there that. Go.
No,
how old would that
I
make
didn't
him?
Think.
I don't think he's going to...
60. He's 57. Oh,
that's no age. 60.
Yeah. That's there you go. Three people saying 3-year contract. Anyway, anything you two want to bring up in the world of current affairs before we... Go on.
Iron supporting food banks.
Oh, yes.
Couple of things they're launching. We got some... let's get me a note, sorry.
I see you're on the website now, by the way. The new website. Yeah. There's a little picture of volunteer. Nigel Khan.
That's right.
Let's have a look at this.
That's correct.
See?
And if people wonder what I'm doing, I'm standing on the centre spot of the bowling ground, taking a selfie, and my finger points to the seat I sat in. And it was taken on the Sunday after the Swansea game.
True story, bro.
Where I got to spend an hour, delightful hour, taking in the sight and sound and standing on the pitch and doing, you know, having a look around, nicking a bit of the grass, actually, I did. So, couple of things. We've got the pay-per-view game coming against Fulham.
I've
covered this in the section, rightly or wrongly, whatever. We'll cover it more, what we think. I did put that in the question on Facebook. But obviously, there is an option that you can go to. A lot of the clubs have done it. I've not got the figures to hand. I know Newcastle raised like 20 odd grand.
Newcastle did it, and
Liverpool fans or whatever,
and done it together.
Yeah.
So basically, if you don't want to pay the £15, the £14.95 to watch the West Ham Fulham game, if you think it's too much, then what you can do is you could go to the Iron Supporting Food Bank's Just Giving page. I'm just trying to get the details up now.
Liverpool raised 100 grand for doing this, by the way.
How much?
100 grand.
Really?
Liverpool fans raised 100 grand from boycotting pay-per-view.
Right, so
that's not bad, is it?
Basically, what you can do is you can go to the Just Giving page, which is justgiving.com/crowdfunding/Iron Supporting Food Banks. And on there, you've got a donate now button. And you can either donate the full $14.95, but don't feel pressured to do it. Donate a fiver, you know, donate a tenner. I spoke to John, and perhaps the best thing to do is, if you're going to do that in protest of the pay-per-view game, make sure in the comment section you put PPV.
Yeah.
So then we know that.
Newcastle fans raised 20,000, by the way. Leeds fans raised 40,000 in their boycott. So this is all the Premier League clubs, sort of supporters associations, have all signed up to this under the umbrella of the FSA.
7th of November is the game. I will be making a separate donation. I don't do pay-per-view. I've got no need to.
But you've got your Fire. Got your Fire TV cube now, eh?
Yeah, but I've still not set that up. I'm still doing the old way. Yeah. So anyway, that's a great gizmo, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It's a lot better than the Fire Stick, the Fire TV cube. But anyway, You could go on Iron Sport and put on. And the reason, another reason why pay-per-view, that he asked to put PPV if you're doing the pay-per-view is...
Yeah, £3,000 they've raised already, by the way, from their £10,000 target. Yeah. Iron Supporting Food Banks have just gone on there.
So if you... Also, they're launching, in conjunction with the Newham Food Bank, is they want to be able to donate and distribute to local children in Newham advent calendars.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why it's being launched this week is obviously we need to raise the funds to get the money to then go out and buy the advent calendars in advance and have them distributed so the kids have got them for the 1st of December, which is, you know, 5 weeks away. So fundraising starts now. So go to the same Iron Supporting Food Banks and donate. And if you want to donate the price of an advent calendar, £3, £4? You want to buy a kid?
If you go to Lidl, we'll probably get it for £1.
Donate £1 then, but put on it advent calendar. So in the comment section, because what that does is it ring fences the money then to be donated to buy the advent calendars. So all the kids in Newham, 40,000 children live below the poverty line in Newham. I don't know the type of upbringing you had, Sean, to be fair.
I can imagine it. Old little Lord Fauntleroy.
That's not true.
I'm sorry, Sean. That was very harsh of me. I didn't mean to be a Tory basher. I'm sorry.
As a kid that grew up in Newham, that would have been classed up until I was a teenager, probably, as living below the poverty line. It's a worthwhile cause, and perhaps if the things like this were around back in the day, my mum would have probably used them.
Talking to John, they got their new van. They've got a logo going onto the van. Van donated, obviously, by West Ham chairman David Sullivan.
Yeah,
who David also donated £25,000 to the Marcus Rashford fund as well.
Yeah, Food Fair, thing. I think it's called.
Well, I thought the club did, didn't they?
No, personal donation from.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
The club had tweeted it out.
Yes, the club big did that. But so David Sullivan's bought the club a one-year-old Peugeot van. David Sullivan's personally bought the Iron Supporting Food Banks, have then donated the van that Sullivan has bought to the food bank to enable food collections.
Van of the year, Peugeot van of the year, you know.
Well, that don't mean nothing, to be fair.
Oh, that's what I'm not
knocking. I know. But as a van driver, yeah, I'm not knocking Peugeots, yeah, but it ain't for me. I'm a Volkswagen man.
So, all right, fair enough.
You know, you can't beat a Volkswagen.
Anyway, right, we're at the hour mark. Anything else you want to say before we get on?
I just want to thank Matthew Aytree. Matt Aytree.
Yeah, what are you thanking him for?
He knows.
Okay.
No, he just bought one of my art boards.
Excellent. So, you can do a plug at the end. It's time for
I don't
this.
Need to plug
in. You can say became like a patron.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's the hour mark, and it's West... No, it's not West Ham.
Thank Christ.
It's Facebook, Twitter question time.
I didn't think we're ever going to get there.
I know. It's where you, the eight listeners, get to ask us, the three presenters, questions of fact or fiction. Until Nigel actually opens Facebook and says, oh, I've got some questions. Or he says to us, shit, I forgot to ask a question this week.
No, I did ask a question.
Oh, that's all right.
About 5:15. Thanks to Dave, who did remind me I had to put a question up, though. 5:15. Are we getting a question today or not?
Touched there by Socek, but he's still able to keep it in. Soufal in towards Antonio. Oh, that's brilliant.
That's brilliant.
That is brilliant. Right, so earlier I asked, 2 hours ago, it says, a couple of questions for your horrible lot to answer. We're in a good mood. If you GSB out, can you say why you are? Don't just put fucking liars. What was it that put you in that camp? There's a reason I asked that. And then with us against Fulham on pay-per-view, will you watch it or donate to the Iron Supporting Food Banks, or both, or neither? And I put, till we meet on the other side, ciao. And I apologise for last week because it was pointed out to me by quite a few people that I didn't read their comments out.
Oh, really? You missed some?
I missed quite a few by the looks of it, to be fair.
I thought that went a bit quick.
Yeah, because what happened is, that's what happens if I refresh, it sort of jumbles it all up.
So at least you read the right week, Len.
Well,
yeah, that's true. Okay. Came you away from the questions.
So, anyway, first up, it's Norman Green, our old mate from the West Country, another West Country Emma. Sean, well, it's my mate. I don't know about you.
I thought you said Norm. I thought that's Gordon Thrower from KUMB, Norm. Isn't it?
Norm.
Okay, right.
Well, how does that sound like Norm?
I don't know.
Even my accent, it sounds nothing like it. I mean, I know Norm Short. You know, he's not a tall geezer, but I wouldn't call him a gnome.
Oh, it's I met Norm.
You
once,
did,
didn't I?
Yeah. Dodsey's mate.
He didn't like me, did he?
Well, not many people do, Sean, but I wouldn't know that. Let's face it.
You introduce me, go, he don't like you.
Yeah, that queue would be rather long, wouldn't it, if we asked people to form a side. Yeah. You know, dear. Are you queuing for beer? No, we're in the Sean Whetstone anti-brigade. Oh, I'll join this.
Yeah, you introduced me. When I was at London's name, you go, oh, yeah, I want you to meet someone. And he walks off. You go, he don't like you, by the way. Great, thanks. Why'd you introduce me to him?
Yeah, because I love doing it. Anyway, you know how you love like nicking stories up of people and not giving them credit? That's a bit like that. Yeah. Anyway, Norm says he don't give a shit about GSB. But he gives a big shit about West Ham, and he does, however, believe we would be better off without him. Mine sometimes better the devil you know, he says. Who would have believed Wigan would be in the position they are in 4 years ago? True, Norm, but at least they have won the FA Cup in the last decade and not the last four like we haven't. He says on the question of Fulham PPV, yeah, of course I would. He's going for both. The way we're playing at the moment, who wouldn't? It's just a shame the first time in the last 4 years we're chomping at the bit to be in the ground with all the boys, we're locked out. He says he loves the show. It's his Tuesday morning. Wouldn't be the same without a 4 hour podcast before he walks the dogs. He don't understand sometimes the relevance of who likes bananas or satsumas. Or do you prefer colour photos or black and white? Thought it was about West Ham United. I love it all the same. He's a really happy chap. He's positive Saturday. Thinks we'll get a point. And keep up the good work. Nicholas Harvey. Evening, gents. He says, GSB out. As they lack the ability and the money to develop the club on and off the pitch. And he says he's happy to donate to the food bank rather than PPV. Very decent first half for City. Felt disappointed we didn't get the 3 points. Goes to show how better we are. Look a different team when Antonio goes off, though. So in the words of the unmentionable, or the sloth, as we will now call him, he will respect the point. And we all know Antonio's hamstring's going to go. Well, we think it's gone now. Isn't that right, Sean?
No. He's still undergoing scans and we'll see.
All right. So tomorrow, people, we find out.
Stop.
What?
Stop.
Have I missed something?
No.
All right. Okay. He's got trio questions. I'll skip through them quickly, obviously, because we have got quite a few people coming, even though I was late. Will the current formation and tactics work against the lesser teams who sit back behind the ball? I fear Moyes needs to find a different way when we play those teams. Len, will the current formation and tactics work against the lesser teams?
I understand his question, yeah. Well, maybe I do fear that it won't. However, we've got enough attacking flair to make changes, but then will Moyes make changes? Oh, it's a difficult question. But no, I don't think that'll work. I think he will need to mix it up.
Right. Sean, you can have this one. Will Haller ever look interested again in a West Ham shirt?
People seem to be split. There's either people say, Allaire's a good player, he's never been given the right service and therefore he's a right to look miserable. And there's people who say, we were sold a pup. He was never worth 45 million and we're completely done. I must admit, I'm in the latter camp and I think we should, I know this sounds awful, but we should write off the 45 million, get whatever back and get another striker that fits the Moyes system.
You say get it back. We haven't paid it yet, have we?
Well, we have. We paid 22 million. The Marco Arnautovic money, 22 million, went straight from China to Frankfurt. We've now paid another two off, so we've paid 11 million. Huh? So
2 million.
We've paid 33. We've got 12 million left to pay.
Okay.
But was it not 45? I didn't think it was that much. I thought that was if we won the league and the European Cup and the World Cup again.
No, I think it was pretty much 45 straight. Maybe I'm wrong. But the figure I've wasn't with add-ons, it was 45. It was the 22 million up front, 50% up front, and then five and a half million, then six and whatever, the remainder.
Right. And I'll answer the next question. Can Moyes get us to 20 points before Christmas? Yes, he can. Nicholas goes on, he said, he'd be disappointed if we don't get a point. He said, he thought we'd have 0 points after the Liverpool game. But anyway, Brady out.
Brady out.
Trevor Newman. He says, is GSB out because they have no humility? He says, humility means you recognise your own shortcomings and listen to people who may know better than you. They are so far out there, they're up their own jackses. They have at best consistently ignored, undermined and refused to listen to fans, managers or anyone that has a smart, valid opinion on club operations, stadium or player recruitment. At worst, GSP have actively gone out of their way to silence fans and media in order to preserve their precious reputation, which they have soiled themselves in order to maintain the conveyor belt of lies. So Trevor's not a big fan, to be fair.
Don't sound like it, does he?
No. It's hard to argue with anything he's put, to be fair. I'm sure Sean would come up that just misunderstood. Next up, Len, is Ed Hughes.
Loves a bit of squirrel, does Ed?
He does love a bit of squirrel. Evening, he says, pay-per-view isn't for me. He'll wait for the match of the day. And it is that simple, people. No one's putting a gun to your head and saying pay-per-view. This is, if you want to watch the Fulham game at 3 o'clock on Saturday the 7th of November, you can pay 15 quid. Oh, drop us a line, we'll put you in touch with Woody. On GSB out, says Ed, my issue is the communication style, Sean. They leak stuff that shouldn't be leaked. Wages, details of deals, Sean. They promise things that can't be promised.
Hang on, hang on. Whoa, whoa. Who says they do?
Sorry?
Who says they do?
I say they do.
I say they don't. I say that agents leak information, particularly when we're talking about finance.
Listen,
when we're talking
about don't go down that wages, road, right? Because I've got
when we're talking wages, when we're talking transfer fees,
phone full of texts.
When we're talking certain things, agents leak details of contracts.
No, no, yeah, but you tell everyone. No, no one listens to an agent.
Still told me something the other day, and I went to him. Who told you that? I went, was it Sean? And then I put, actually, this is what I put. Was it Sean's Circle of Trust? I shouldn't tell you this, but don't tell no one else. And he laughed. He went, yeah. I went, yeah, thought so. There you
still
go.
Still is.
Yeah. I know. I'm just saying, you make me laugh. You go, this can't get out. And you must say that to about 10 people.
No, I don't.
No, you
Circle
don't.
Of Trust is very small.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Ed then says, they promise things that can't be promised. Eliminate debt, world-class team, world peace. When they could have worded it as, we will try to improve finances, improve the squad and help meet fan expectations. That's true, Ed. But to be fair, if they'd come out and said, do you know what, the Olympic Stadium, we might not be better, but we possibly could be better. We may make more money, but we might not make more money. Most people would have gone, well, that's a load of old crap. I don't want to go then. And then they wouldn't have got to sell the ground, would they? Obviously, Ed does then say that they share league transfer plans that upsets people. Sean will disagree with you, heard Ed. Apparently, it's not them that's leaking it at all. There is no
exactly
senior source at the club. Is there, Sean?
All agents.
It's all agent work. There you go. This summer, we were told a centre-back, bits of £20 million for every guy going, and we ended up getting Craig Dawson for loan. They're trying to be liked as fans, but cocking it up at every attempt. And this is where I am with Ed all the way. If they kept their mouth shut, fans wouldn't be so against them. They've brought it upon themselves, Sean.
Don't you? Why did you ask this question about GSBA? Yeah. It's not like you, really.
No, the reason why I've done it, I want to see what people's reasoning in, because I feel a bit detached from the GSB out brigade, which is quite funny, really.
Because you're a bit, you defend them quite often.
I defend them where I felt they need to defend, but it doesn't stop me being GSB out. I'm GSB out because they destroyed a way of life. So actually, if they put a world-class team into a world-class stadium, and that world-class team went on and won the league and qualified for the Champions League and everything else, then I would still detest them for what they did.
Really?
And what they moved us from. Yeah, because you know it was more than that with me.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, so and so therefore I'm a bit different. Well, if it's to do with people saying, oh, because they haven't invested in the team, they were expecting better of the team, so the bad results led to the protest, everything, blah, blah, blah. Then when we're sort of doing well, does it lessen it? That's what I'm trying to decipher. you know, have I got a lot in common with? I looked at the Amers United 10 protests at 10 on Saturday, and one part annoyed me.
Go on.
And that was the people that stood outside the bowling ground, or what's left of it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And why did that annoy you?
Because they did fuck all when they had the chance. Before it was built, ages ago. And too many people walked past. And that's what annoys me. And perhaps it's a bit different because I did try to do something or whatever.
Let it go.
But, well, that's right. You know, I didn't think it would annoy me. I clicked on what they did to have a look. Shut up, you. Fuck off.
Who's that? The wife?
No, the dog. No, he's got the ump because the wife's out. So he's got his separation issues. Cockapoos, I tell you. They're lovely dogs, but they get attached to one person in the family. And if that person ain't here, they just whine. Shut up! They just whine. Oh, they don't listen anyway, freaking dog. Anyway, yeah, Amers United. I get being outside the ground, the GSB out. I don't get the bit outside the club shops, whatever. I get what they wanted to do. But they had a group of people outside the bowling. And for me, it was a bit of a step too far. For me, personally. Am I right or wrong? I don't know. You tell me.
I'm indifferent to it. I don't feel I've got a right to really talk about it, really.
Well, you was chief cheerleader, to be fair.
Huh?
You was the chief cheerleader for the move.
Yeah, I know. So that's what I don't think I have a right to talk about protests, really.
Then am I right or wrong? I didn't think I'd feel like that until I looked at the pictures and I see these people standing where the gate used to be and it was like, mate, what the fuck are you doing now?
Doesn't matter if you're right or wrong, mate. It's how you feel. I understand your point. I understand your point. Do you know what? To be honest, sometimes we can all be GSB out and be somewhat private about it. From time to time, you do need a little bit of a break from it. And I could, no doubt, some of the boys who are out there protesting could feel the same, but they, I know as far as Tross is concerned, he'd rather not be doing this at all. He'd rather be spending time with his family, but he feels it's the right thing to do. So, I mean, I think you've got to put it behind you a little bit and look at the sort of look at what they're doing with sort of a certain amount of goodwill.
Not against Damage United. It
was, I know you're not, mate. I understand what upsets. Certain things happen that upset me. So I do understand what you mean. But from time to time, you just think to yourself, once in a while, when it starts getting you down, you start thinking about it too much, about how your club used to be and what it's like now, it can genuinely get you down. And sometimes I've got to think to myself, look, I've got to take a little bit of responsibility. Look, I make cartoons. I can't be fucking miserable. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes I need to take a little bit of a break from it, maybe a few days, but it's tough, you know? For them, I mean, I've got much more respect for the guys going out there and going to these places and have their photo taken than people just putting hashtag GSB out.
Yeah, I suppose social. So. I don't want to get into it. Some of the people protesting.
It's why I'm surprised you asked the question. It's
I struggle with
picking a scab.
But that's for other personal reasons as well. Some of them that are standing there, I struggle with them being there.
Yeah. I mean, there's some, I don't want to point the finger, but some of the people that are there, I recall seeing them on TV saying they're looking forward to the move.
You know, everybody was had, weren't they?
Yeah.
Next up, Barry.
Don't think bad of people.
Yeah. Next up was Barry Mickle. He says there was no single incident that put me in the GSB out camp, but he's been there for 18 months purely due to an accumulation of things. He said mainly because they continue to embarrass our club. I think another reason why was to see things said like this, to see whether the ownership do have a chance to turn it around. You know, with me, they've got no chance. But I ain't going to go out with flags and I ain't going to Twitter GSB out because I think it's a waste of time, personally. That's my personal opinion. They'll go when they're good and ready and long may that day hurry up. But I don't think we can drive them out. But to see whether with a percentage of the fan base can be swung round. So if they stopped embarrassing the club, which I don't think they can, would Barry then change? I don't know. He says mostly by annoying other clubs to the point where they have bad things to say or they vow to no longer deal with us, which is funny because he's put Brentford, Burnley, Sporting Lisbon, Frankfurt, Leicester, probably Bournemouth off the top of my head, where realistically I could only think that... that's bad enough. You could probably go, well, Leicester probably won't. Frankfurt won't. And I can't see Sporting Lisbon doing much with us. I don't know why he's put Brentford in there or Burnley, to be fair, or Bournemouth to that point.
Unsettling their players.
Secondly, he said, because we've had long enough to make us a well-run club and we're simply not. Scattergun approach. Next level, world-class team, blah, blah, blah. Don't matter if we ever believed it would happen. They said, and 5 years later, they haven't made any significant progress towards that. He does put in brackets, current form notwithstanding. He won't buy the PPV. He lives in Canada. He will continue supporting my local food bank. Good luck to you, mate. Forgive me, it's spelt GUELPH. So to me, that says...
Guelph.
Guelph, yeah. Ontario. Love the show.
Canada.
Yeah.
Might be that's a French word.
Is Ontario the French bit? That's Quebec, isn't
it? I don't think it is. I think Quebec is.
Yeah. We give the froggies one little bit and we kept all the good bits for ourselves. Next up is Cool Jazz Stell, who did a good show last night, but I woke up to find a text saying, where did you go? Did you fall asleep? Because I actually did fall asleep halfway through his show.
Do you know, I started watching it this morning. I think I got interrupted.
Oh, well, I didn't see the end of it, so I couldn't tell you what happened.
did he copy my idea of
he nicked your
Negrini.
Story. Yeah, the Pellegrini
bloody
story.
Plagiarism.
Oh, no.
Jesus wet.
This is quite a good, Sean, because this is sort of a question possibly aimed at you and others. He has gone, I know I've already sent you to this in WhatsApp, Nigel, but better to be safe than sorry. Like, don't trust me just because I missed his question out last week. And he goes, he knows it isn't a GSB-related question because he's just ignored what I asked and gone off base. But he says it's poignant and important. You ready, Sean? Given the very sensitive and personal nature of the outcome of the side Ben Rama's medical, whatever that means, do you think it's appropriate that ITK chose to even discuss this issue so openly in public? At what point does insider knowledge become suitable for public consumption? Surely there has to be a code of conduct in place that ITK information should be restricted or limited to issues that are not so personal. For example, medicals, individuals' well-being and salaries should be 100% off limits.
Surely medicals are totally confidential, aren't they? Sean?
So that's. I mean, what? How do you describe ITKs in the first place? I don't describe myself as an ITK, by the way. What are ITKs?
Let's just leave Nigel? The other one then, doesn't it?
What are ITKs?
They are people that are giver of information that is passed to them by other sources.
Correct. So they are people who have been passed information from other people.
Yes.
I think the onus is really on the person who gave them information in the first place and whether it should have been given. But there is no code of conduct. And look, if you're looking for a bogeyman, Stel or Nigel, I think that's got to be Darren Lewis. And look, Darren's a good mate of mine, but he's the one who ran the story in the Daily Mail saying it was a blood issue. I don't think anyone would have been talking about bloods if Darren Lewis hadn't run the medical was a blood issue. And it sort of opened the floodgates. Now, as we know, no one's talking about what that issue has, neither me or the other person you're referring to. So, you know, there is some level and there is some filter with all of us, but I don't know, people always seem to be looking for problems when there are no problems. You know, the player himself is saying there's no problem, so let's just leave it there, just see what happens. Let's let, you know, this is yesterday's news. Let's stop the news cycle on this. The longer we talk about it, the more it will continue. Let's kill the news cycle on this particular topic now.
Well, you would say that, wouldn't you?
Well, you always say that.
Well, look.
The news cycle has done its bit on this. Let's just leave it.
Well, listen, Stel's asked the question. That's all I'm saying.
And I've answered the question.
So do you want an answer, Len? Do you want to give, like, tuppence worth or?
I want to know how Sean and Darren Lewis are mates.
Do you know
what? Not the moose.
you can answer that, can't you?
They appeared on some crappy, I don't know what it was, the satellite TV channel.
We were in a studio once, yes. And we went on a football. It was owned by Kelvin McKenzie, and I had to go to this dodgy studio, and there was myself and Darren Lewis on the show.
I shouldn't laugh. I watched it.
Yeah, who else was on? It was me, Darren, and
weren't Mark Webster? Was it? Was he the presenter?
I think you're right. It could have been. It was someone else. And the clip is still on YouTube. And I said, "This will date it." When I first met Darren, it was Pochettino had just been appointed Southampton manager, and I said, what does this guy know about the Premier League?
Hearing
numbers and nobody sacked.
We've got to find that clip.
Oh, people remind me of that sometimes.
It's nearly as good as your BBC interview talking about IT, which was fascinating. Yeah. That was a good. I don't know what it was. I actually won a prize off of that TV channel. believe it or not. I don't know if it was that night, but I answered the quiz question right, and I won a copy of FIFA on the PlayStation 4, which was quite good because I never had a PlayStation 4. but anyway, Neil Middleton says GSB out for the sale of the ground. Very fishy. Not really, Neil, to be fair. Don't believe the conspiracy theories about the sale of the ground. Why move to gain so little in revenue? Good question. Non-existent scouting work. Appointment of Grant. Well, yeah. A constant undermining of managers. Dave Trivett. Brady out, Len.
Brady out.
Dave then goes on, because it was Dave that reminded me to put the question, obviously pointed out that evening, everyone missed out last week, but I'm not bitter. He's put in brackets, bastard. He won't pay 15 quid when I can get a Moody stream as a medically retired person. I don't have the surplus cash balled out and the bastardised Brady as well. He went to the bowling for 30 years and it was a shithole, but I loved Ken's calf. And the Queens. Well, if ever there was a shithole, it was the Queens, wasn't it? Let's face it. As the bowling was always rammed. There was probably a reason why the Queens weren't rammed, Dave. Wipe your feet on the way out. So they took all that away, a season ticket holder for most of those years, and never asked what I wanted. Yes, there were lies, but that started before we moved. Great show. Gary Prince, GSB out. Just think they're not good at running a football club. Proof is in the pudding, and they haven't brought any success since they got involved in football, which is 1992, I believe they bought Birmingham, was it? 93?
Yeah.
Nearly 30 years. The PPV matches are free in Europe, so can easily be watched here without paying. Always happy to donate to good causes. Keep up the good work, chaps. Perhaps I'll whack the old Just Give Him page on the Facebook group tomorrow, people, which when you listen will be today, unless you're listening Wednesday, then it would have been yesterday, and hopefully I've done it. Unless I do it Thursday, then it will be tomorrow. Ed Allthorne, what role has the lack of supporters at matches played in the current league table? Big role for me, Ed. What do you reckon?
I think you could be right. I don't want to. Yeah. We're turkeys voting for Christmas, aren't we? But, yeah. You know. Yeah. But yeah, I think it might have something to do with it, you know. Looks like it's working in our favour.
Yeah. I mean, you got the top four. Is it Everton, Villa, Liverpool, Leeds? I mean, that's a top four.
I haven't looked at the table, mate.
I think that's a top four from the 1980s. You know, that's
who's the top? Who's at the top?
Everton. Even though they got beat, yeah, still top. Villa got beat, still second. Or no, Liverpool was second, Villa were third, Leeds are fourth. I don't know if that included the Leicester game, though. Leicester may have gone fourth, to be fair. Let's have a quick butchers. Burnley, Tottenham, still 0-0, people, 37 minutes in. Everton, Liverpool, Villa, Leicester, Leeds, Southampton, Palace, Wolves, Tottenham, Chelsea. So in the top 10, I mean, who would have thought 5 or 6 games in, both Man United and Man City would be below West Ham?
Well, it is only 5 or 6 games in.
Yeah. Well, but
mind you, we've had probably the other games.
That's what I'm saying. You know, we're in our easy run. I think someone does bring that up later.
I swear it all goes pear-shaped.
3-2-1. Back in the room.
I was just going to say, has he muted himself? Has he gone up for a wee-wee, is he?
No. I've muted myself because you were just going off a complete tangent and I'm thinking, yeah, well, we've lost what the actual question was.
Yeah, what role was the lack of supporters at matches played?
Well, it wasn't a question to me, was it?
It's a question to everyone.
We've had it, didn't we? I've just answered.
What was the question?
Oh, for crying out loud.
What, has the lack of supporters at matches played a role in the current league table?
Yeah, it has, definitely.
It has, right, thank you.
We talked about this last week. You know, crazy 7-2. I've heard people say some of it's about, players aren't under pressure or players feel they've got the freedom without being. I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it, but there definitely is some angle to supporters not being there. I don't think there's an easy answer, except, yeah, it does seem to have an effect, but I can't put my finger on what it is. I bet you're glad I answered that.
Well done. Evening, gents. Hope you're well, says Ian Gravett. We are all well, Ian. Well, obviously, Sean's got a bit of the Sovid, but he's really sad that we have played well in the last two games. I don't get what he's saying there, but anyway. Against City, a team that usually trounces us, we yard fought a draw, should and could have won, but could have lost two but for Fabianski. Do you feel Antonio should be rested? I think that's taken out of our hands. I'm not allowed to tell you till tomorrow, but if you're listening tomorrow, then that's today. I can tell you that he's out. Or unless you're listening Wednesday, then actually I could have told you the day before. But you'll find out that he's out for 6 weeks. So should we give Benrahma Halabowin a try? I think he means that, yes, as a front three. Benrahma Halabowin. But, yeah, maybe. I'm not sure about Ala.
Why would you? Why would you throw Benrahma and Ala in?
Yeah.
What's gone wrong to sort of make a double change?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'm more interested in what Moyes does than thinking about it myself. Does anyone else feel like that?
Yeah, I mean, personally, if you're playing Ala, I think you've got to play someone up front with him. I think this is the problem.
That's what everyone's saying.
Yeah. So, therefore, he's got to change it. Is he that progressive that he will change it now he's got this problem with Antonio? Or will he try and stick to the tried and tested and just swap Antonio with Yarmolenko or someone of that ilk? Who knows?
I think I would.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not me.
Evening peeps. It's old Belinda Kaikitis. She said,
Belinda.
She won't pay the PPV. I donate to our local charities, one of them being a food bank. So Mr. K and I will continue to do so. Well done. GSB out. Well, I wouldn't shed a tear if they sold up, she says. But the main issue with the Bulls is they don't know how to run a football club.
That's right.
Again, no infrastructure in place for scantings being brought out the door. And commercially, they make inept decisions. They don't have the right team in place. Some of their sponsored partnership deals are questionable. Just because you can do a deal doesn't mean you should. Well said.
That's right.
But what does she know? Obviously a lot by looking at that. Think of me this weekend, though, she says. Think of her. She will be outnumbered in her own house by Liverpool fans. Because Mr. K... and young son, she's not put his name. I don't know if his name's Son, and he's like named after the Tottenham player. But Son Kaikitis, will probably, she says she'll probably sit in a room on her own to watch the game, and she loves the show.
And make it all the more sweet when we beat them, Belinda.
Yeah, make sure you give it to them. I don't mean that in a funny way, Bill. I mean verbally, like slap them around the head and say, yeah, I'll take that. Make them sit in the garden. And then Stel and Bell will go all Greek on us and start talking. I can't read it because it's all in Greek. all right, my handsomes, how's yous doing? It's our own village, idiot. Mr. Richard Dodds. He says, he's Brady out rather than GSB out. Quite right. He says, Brady thinks West Ham Fab. He's put Fabs. I don't know if he's talking about West Ham lollies or what. I think he should have put fans. Can't spell. But them fingers, they're quite close together, Dodds, aren't they, with that webbing. West Ham fans are the shit on the bottom of her shoes. So he's going early, Brady out.
Brady out.
He says, questions as always for your amusement. What is the biggest schoolboy error Sean has ever made? Except for admitting to Nigel he didn't watch the whole Spurs game on last week's podcast.
I got the book.
thanks for that, Sean.
Do you know what my personal favourite was, Sean? when you flew
you're
going to
say chairing the Olympic Stadium committee.
No, that my personal favourite or stupid thing was when you flew all the way to Australia, and I think you called the Sydney Hammers the Brisbane Hammers.
Yeah. I think it was Brisbane Hammers. I was in Brisbane, and I went, it was Dave.
Yeah. You called them the Sydney Hammers. You called the Brisbane Hammers the Sydney Hammers.
I was jet-lagged. It was a lot of work. What is the Melbourne Hammers? He said, I don't know, but we are the Melbourne Hammers.
Yes.
Or Brisbane Hammers, whichever Hammers, way.
Yeah. That was funny, to be fair. The fact you got all that way out there. I know you went out there for work, but it was funny. When we come out of Tier 3 lockdown, which none of us are in, you can only choose one. You may be quite more of these, Sean. A hunk, a chunk, a junk, or a monk?
A monk. I want to be a Buddhist monk. I've been following Buddhism.
You do quite look like a Buddha.
The Four Noble Truths of Buddhism, right? Life is about suffering. Once you understand, which is being a West Ham fan, once you understand that life's about suffering, you can look for enlightenment. So I want to be a Buddhist monk.
Four Noble Truths. That sounds like something that the Four Nails and Mark Noble's cocked up.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Right. I'll give it, Len, what do you think should happen with Mark Noble now going forward?
Well, I apparently I heard he's spending more time, he's doing a bit of coaching. Is that true?
He did set up an academy. Yeah.
Spending more time with the kids. So I think
he has, apparently.
It's all, you know, every one of the club heroes has done that. Other than Trev, he just retired. But Bill done that.
He did manage us.
Yeah, eventually, twice. Not straight away.
Was it twice? Was it four games? Was it twice?
He did three games. Rhoda came back for three games, got sacked after the Rotherham debacle. And then he did...
twice in total.
11 games.
Come on, Sean.
All right. It's a long time ago. Detail's not my strong point.
We know. Okay. Did any of you watch when Bubbles met Bill Gardner?
I did watch it, actually.
He thought it was good and insightful. What did you think?
For me?
Well, either of you.
Gonzo knows what I think. I noticed Gonzo's free camera action. Which I thought was quite impressive. But you know.
Sean?
I haven't watched the whole thing, but I watched it. And I know that Bill got quite emotional at one part of it. And, you know, I think he really speaks from the heart. I know people that go to watch Crimp from Casuals, because that's where his boys play now. Or one of them's the manager and one of them's the goalkeeper. And he enjoys his football down there, that he says, you know, it's quite sad that he feels like that.
Well, I've not watched it, so I can't really. Dodsey then goes on 8 points. He thought we'd be lucky to get three by now. He's then listed the next 11 games. He says the next 11 games are as difficult as the first six. I'm not buying that, Dodds. And then he goes,
we'll make it look like it, don't you worry.
Liverpool, Fulham, Sheffield United, Villa, Man United, Leeds, Palace, Chelsea, Brighton, Southampton, Everton. I mean, quickly, I'll take this one. Liverpool lose, Fulham win, Sheffield United win, Villa lose, Man United draw, Leeds draw, Palace win, Chelsea draw, Brighton draw, Southampton lose, Everton lose. And I think that's not bad.
You made it right there, didn't you?
There you go. Michael Levy Jr., the soul singing superstar, possibly of South Ockenden, possibly maybe going back to Tenerife now they're off the danger list, or whatever they call it, Mike. He says, I'm GSB out, not because of the lies, but because I honestly believe they had the best intentions. although they did see the opportunity for personal gain, but then it's a business. But it's more the ineptitude. That's a great long word, Mike, to be fair. A bit long for me. I'd have to look it up. Ineptitude. They are incapable of running a club successfully and have made no attempt to get into the 21st century. The world has changed. Football's different now. And I bet Sullivan still operates via fax machine and a pager. I don't believe they have the knowledge or suitable liquid assets to run a Premier League club efficiently. You're not far wrong there, I believe. Brilliant. Thank you as always.
Brilliant.
From the soul singing superstar of, and he's put in brackets, not sure yet, maybe back to Tenerife. And then he says, there's some tickets left for his soul Motown reggae. And this bloke can sing, people. He's got, go and look up Michael Levy Jr. on YouTube. The man can really sing, and not a pub singer. This man can proper sing. So he is playing in Loughton this Saturday. I shall give you the details now, people. If any of you in Loughton, if Russ is listening, get to Loughton. I know he don't live in Loughton, but you're from Loughton. He's playing 118 Churchill Street. Groups of six per table. It's all COVID safe, hygiene, everything precautions are taken. And there is a limited capacity. And you will be, believe me, you will have a great night. And I'm not just saying that because I've watched his, I spent a great hour flicking through some of his songs. And he can proper sing, people. So get out and support him. Dazlar here says, all right, my lads. Oh, he's popping in. What's, you know, you'd think we're doing a bleeding in his text. Behave yourself. What's all this YouTube stuff you're sending? All right, my lads. It's Dazlar here. He's on holiday in the islands of Scotland. Scouting players from Elgin City because they're top of Scottish League too. I read this earlier, Dazlar, and I must admit, I'm very jealous. I'd like to have been in Scotland. Normally, I would have been in Scotland this week because it's half term, but due to COVID and lack of work, and because I'm actually got work, it meant we couldn't go. He's GSB out as he believed their tales of success in European travels, but it really was another one, their ineptitude to run the club. This is the theme, the ineptitude, the way they run the club. And then he lists a few, Sully with transfers, no independent director of football to tackle Sully and wasteful spending with Pellegrini. No scouting system. He still ticks him. Fulham Grain.
Turn your phone off.
He said, I may be pressured to pay by Mini-Me and I'll donate to the food bank. Well done, my friend. By the way, I'd also subscribe to the podcast to get more content. New owners in. Well, mate, you don't have to be fair, because we don't, you know.
Well, actually, you can support the podcast. There is a little. We've never received anything, but Acast do donate to the podcast.
Don't do it. Save money, people. Perhaps we'll bring some merch out. We love a bit of merch. Evan Turner, nice drop of water. I've been to there, Evan. In the Alps, lovely place on the side of Lake Geneva. Little sip of the old Evian. He says, evening, gents. He said, in particular, he's Brady out. The Baroness is, he really goes for it here. He's a rich socialite, conservative politician, reality TV star slash sun columnist who does not in any way, shape or form reflect the values of a working class rooted club from the East End, such as West Ham United, a club of the people. This is my post of the night. She is clueless with football decisions, shown incompetence with the fumbling of the move to London Stadium. She's continuously has insulted or mocked other clubs openly in the public sphere, tarnishing both herself and us with her. At the end of the day, Gold and Sullivan aren't going anywhere soon, so they need to step back, play the bankroller role, similar to what Mike Ashley's done at the Magpies. He's obviously in Newton and Sean. We need to hire a proper sporting director, good luck with that, who understands football and can manage a club. And he thinks, how about the 8 points from Wolves, Leicester, Spurs, City? Let the good times roll. So not all down, but great.
Brings me in on something, you know, I like plugging other podcasts. I listen religiously to The Price of Football with Kieran Maguire. friend of the podcast. And he's, you know, there's a lot of finances going on. But one of the things he had this Newcastle chair of the Supporters Trust on, which I got a bit of grief for saying he talks a lot of sense. And the reason I said that, just in case, you know, I wasn't going to defend myself on Twitter because I don't do that anymore, was, you know, he said, look, we're not a protest group, right? And I put in, you know, other West Ham supporters group could learn from this. Now, he's against Mike Ashley, but he says, we're not a protest group. There are plenty of people boycott this, do this, do this. We're not a protest group. The club don't really want to talk to us. We want to get Mike Ashley out. But he seems a very, very sensible view. And he's even, and this is a real strange thing, even, is it not Shelby? Who's the woman who's trying to buy Newcastle?
A woman?
A lady that's trying to buy Newcastle. She's leading the consortium with the consortium.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, but she's hot. Trying to think of her name.
I'm sure everyone's crying out her name that I can't quite remember. And he said she rung him up and talked to him and had a sensible dialogue of, you know, the fans' view. And he says what he now does is, and I don't know if you know, but at the moment Newcastle won't reveal the fan refund for season tickets. He says what he does is he's now got 13,000 trust members all paying £1 each.
Amanda Stively.
Amanda Stavely, that's it.
Yeah.
He rings up the Premier League and then the Premier League. He said, but he doesn't really want to, Russ, you know, go to the Premier League every time. Anyway, I digress because the point I wanted to make is you've heard about Project Big Picture and what the Americans want to do. And when I say the Americans, I'm talking about the owners of the Glazers and whatever they're called, Liverpool and who's the Liverpool's owners?
Fenway.
Yeah, I forget who they're called. Anyway, Project Big Picture. Fenway. Project Big Picture.
Fenway, they're called. Not Fenway, sure.
But I'm thinking of the actual guy who runs Fenway. And
John something.
Again, look it up because it's going to do me head in. Project Big Picture, at the moment, it's one person, one vote. What the big clubs want to do...
John Emery.
Is not... That's it, Emery. John Emery. What the big clubs want to do is not make it one club, one vote. They want to have more power. The bigger clubs want more power. But get this, and this is the reason I brought up Newcastle, Mike Ashley, and the Gold and Sullivan. In the future, under Project Big Picture, and now they're talking about the Super League, the top six club will have the right of veto over any takeover. So people like Manchester and Liverpool will be able to say, veto the clubs being sold. Well, that's just going to be mayhem.
It's a dictatorship.
It's a dictatorship. You're absolutely right, Lynn. Because what it's about is saying, we do not want, apparently, and Kieran talks about this on the Price of Football. He says, look, this came about because of Leicester City. It's known that the big six don't want anyone else encroaching into their big six. They don't want the big six to become big eight because they have to give up money. They want to be on Champions League and, you know, they don't want anyone on their exclusive club. So if they got their way, they would veto any other billionaires trying to come in and buy their way into the big six. And that's the danger we've got at the moment. We've got the big clubs going, look, if you don't do what we are the Premier League, you know, people watch the Premier League because we, Manchester United, Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal, I have to say Spurs as well, Liverpool, all that's what the world want to watch. And we have the power. So you need to change the Premier League to reduce down to 18 and give us more power. Or we're going to go off and create this European Super League, which you're not going to be a part with, and our big TV deals go with it. That's the problem at the moment.
That.
Well, what do you mean? Yes, we do.
They don't know they're going to get the big deals.
They don't know they're going to get the big deals, but they do have the power. And in the end, what Kieran says on the podcast, and I agree with, this is all a bit of a sort of smoke and mirrors. So they leak the thing about this Project Big Picture and then they leak about this European Super League, and then they come down with a watered-in scheme, and everyone is so relieved that it's not the original one. They go, oh, yeah, yeah, let's do that then. This is all a play. This is the biggest play out. But get West Ham are against it, but don't get me wrong. We will be worse off if the Premier League is reformed and the big clubs have rights of veto, because then you're going to have you're going to be stuck with Golden Sullivan for years to come if they veto any owner that would take any club forward. That's the problem we're facing now. Anyway, I've digressed now, haven't I? And completely gone off what the question was. Sorry, Nigel. Price of football. After you've listened to this podcast, listen to Price of Football.
There you go. Paul Nolan, chauffeur here, he says he's just come back from his counselling from having because he didn't have his question read out last week. Paul. I know. Poor old Paul. Never mind. But I thought he was like a business advisor. Couldn't he just advise himself?
Consultant. Well, he was a work business advisor, wasn't he?
Oh, was he? Perhaps, I don't know. Good job you never read him, Nigel. Is he missed the second half of the game versus Spuds? He said, but he wasn't watching a film, though. He was playing football with his son, Sean. Did you watch a film this week, by any way, Sean? I forgot to ask. No good films this week during the game? Or did you watch the whole game?
I watched the whole game, actually. It kept my interest.
Did it? Oh, that's good to know. That's good to know.
The early goal helped keep me in.
It always helps with you, doesn't it? The early goal.
Goals are fun.
They are. He says he's GSB out really because of the overall management at the club. Communication from the top down is poor, treatment at the managers and some of the signings and selling of Upton Park. It's a pay-per-view, you're having a laugh, food bank wins. As well as GSB, can we have Johnson Gove Cummings out? Not sure about that. But even though I'm with you, actually. I think this government's a bit of a bleeding joke at the moment. I'm not allowed to go see my mum. Yeah, apparently.
What's that got to do with the gun?
But I'm allowed to work on a building site with electricians from Birmingham and plasterers from Manchester.
All right, Keir Starmer.
Well, you know, you tell me the sense in that. And the plasterers in Manchester came down because they can't work in Manchester because all the sites are shut.
If we'd been running this podcast in the war, you'd go, that Winston Churchill wants to black out our bloody windows. I can't see. I can't read anything.
Everybody's done the blackout, mate. Everybody done the blackout. Yeah? But it ain't everybody, is it? It's piecemeal. We don't know what's going on. Anyway, he enjoyed the Man City game. He went into it confident, which felt strange. And he's confident for the Mickey Mouses, he said. He says, what do we think of the Scousers game? But we do predictions later. A question from last week was, what's your favourite cheese? Because he had a cheese fest with Mrs. Murray.
Oh,
I'm a
massive cheese.
Come on in quickly, though, yeah? Cheese.
You go first, then. Laughing cow.
You see, I could go all posh. I could go all posh. I don't think you can be proper British Stilton. I love Stilton. I love a bit of smelly cheese. Lovely, a bit of blue mouldy cheese. And you could offer me all the French weird, you know, go to Le Gavroche in Mayfair and go to the two-star.
It's petrol, isn't it?
But they've got a wonderful cheese trolley at Le Gavroche. But give me a British Stilton any day.
Do you like it with fruit in?
I like not Stilton. I'll tell you where I really like Stilton, right? And I know it's not blue a food podcast, white. But I blew on crumbled on Brussels sprouts with crispy bacon on Christmas Day.
Oh yeah, man.
You know, Brussels sprouts. Bacon and crumbled
blue cheese and bacon is a winner.
Oh, it's a winner, isn't it? It's a winner.
Oh, move on quickly.
Well, look, I like a bit of cheddar. right?
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
I don't mind a bit of like camembert baits or a bit of brie. Don't mind a bit of brie. Yeah. I don't do all that crap smelly stuff. Had a very nice afternoon in the Wensleydale Cheese Factory. And you get to go round and they've got a tasting room. And that was good, to be fair. Bit of Wensleydale with cranberry in. I don't normally do cheeses like that. Won't touch Stilton with a barge pole.
Oh.
To be fair.
Actually, maybe it was Wensleydale I had the fruit in.
Yeah, Wensleydale. Anyway. You can get it with, it was lovely with a cherry
while,
in.
While we're on food, because this came up and it's a nice link to, we watched BBC Pointless the other day to watch our friend Ian Dale win, or sort of win the trophy. He failed at the last to win the charity money. But hey
Bruce, he would say, did he do well? Did he do well?
He did well. And the question that he had, I've never eaten Japanese food. And you said on WhatsApp, neither have I.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? I love sushi. Sushi is probably my favourite food.
Yeah.
I love a bento box. I'd probably usually have one, a bento box.
I don't want to know what you get up to, mate, to be fair, in your dungeon.
Oh, it's amazing. I love a bit of raw fish. Love tempura prawns and kimchi. I know that's not technically Japanese, it's Korean, but it's pickled chili
cabbage.
Oh, well,
they're all the same, Sean, aren't they?
No, they're not. But I like Korean food as well. Have you really never tried sushi? Do you like Korean?
Yeah.
The only fish I eat is cod, and it's got to be battered. And that is, I'll have a fish finger and I'll have a battered cod. And that's your lot. It was like white
cod,
fish.
Cod, how about a cod head stew?
Bit of haddock, maybe. Not a fan
it's
of haddock.
Really spicy cod head stew. Or a lovely Korean barbecue in the middle of the table.
It's muck, mate.
Oh, I'm going to take you out for Japanese. We'll have sushi one day. Listen, we'll go out for more than just a podcast. Sushi feast.
I won't have a sushi feast. One, I don't eat uncooked fish, yeah? Well, how can you be a sushi chef if you ain't got to cook it? You're just chopping up a bit of cold fish.
Smoked salmon.
I don't touch smoked salmon. It's disgusting.
Anyway, answers on a postcard. Who likes
I did have four pies at the weekend, though, Saturday.
You have four pies, you fat bastard. Anyway, moving on. Sorry.
Not all in one go, though, I'll have you know. It was spread about the day. We need to crack on because Marion's up next.
No, has he forgotten about the ticket?
No. I'll tell you what, I'm not being funny. If Marion was a cartoon character, you just imagine Dylan out of the Magic Roundabout and it with his guitar. Hello, boyos. It's Marion here. He's GSB out simply because of the move and the lies. There he goes with me. He's got a question for George, but ain't worth reading it because he ain't here. Question for me. Do you believe the reason Benny hasn't yet to pay me the 200 quid he promised is because he's keeping it for my subscription to the podcast? we will have fun with that 200 quid, Mel.
Do you know what? I've not had a single person take me up on the £1,000 per episode idea.
Oh, right. Well, there you go. He's got a question for John, but he's not here. Question for Len, though. Oh. As it's Halloween this week.
Oh, yeah.
Nightmare Before Christmas, Corpse Bride, or Frankenweenie?
Oh, he's asking me my favourite. And well, I was about to say, I'm doing A Nightmare in Green Street. So I've got a video coming out for Halloween. Special guest on it as well. I did like The Corpse Bride.
Really?
Yeah.
Nightmare Before
That's
Christmas.
The I remember.
Brilliant.
Well, I don't know I remember it.
Oh, right. It's Jack Skeleton, isn't it? I've forgotten the name of the town. I've watched it about four times with my boy because he loved it when it came out. was his favourite Disney film, which was a bit strange. He's got. He says no
can
question.
Can I ask an animation question before we move on to Lynn?
Let Miriam finish because he's got no question for you this week because he demanded payment for an answer last week.
Okay.
So sod off. Go on in.
Who? Animation question. Who is the best, in your view, the best animator in the world? Does Walt Disney or...
What, alive?
No, ever. The best animator.
You mean who's my favourite? I can't really say the
favourite. Yeah, who's your favourite?
I'm going to say Matt Groening, actually, of Simpsons. Because, really? I mean, the way it just kept me interested for so long. I mean, I like Richard Williams. But I'm going to have to, I think The Simpsons, you got to say it's the best animation. Really?
Does like, I mean, obviously being a complete novice, does not Walt Disney or... I don't know.
No, listen. Walt Disney's like going to Anfield or something like that. It's just a money making scheme, isn't
it? How about Monty Python guy Terry Gilliam?
Oh yeah, that's not a bad shout. He was really
weird with his really weird animations, wasn't he?
Yeah, come across a bit more of an art director, really. I think a lot of his ideas, he's got his ideas down, and of course. Nick Park.
Nick Park's up there with educators.
Gromit, you idiot.
Yeah.
Ah, right, okay.
Wallace and Gromit.
And Creature Comforts.
Thank you for that. There you go. Shaun the Sheep. Go on, then.
What about Tony Art?
What about him?
He's dead.
Don't say that in front of my brother. I told you about that.
Do you know what? I was, and you'll probably say, I was really upset to hear about Frank Boff yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Member of his club, was you?
Well, I just liked him on Grandstand. And I know he had a little problem with the sort of Mount Columbian marching powder and Ladies of the Night. But come on, we shouldn't remember him for that. He was great on Grandstand. I grew up watching Grandstand. I'd like to remember him for Grandstand.
I preferred Harry Carpenter, to be fair. No lie, I'm not a fan. I was brought up in a BBC house rather than ITV, so we preferred Match of the Day, but the big match was good because we could watch that on a Sunday afternoon. So I was more Barry Davis, John Watson. Oh, happy birthday to Barry Davis the other day, 84 years of age. He's still alive. So it was more Davis than Brian Moore. Always watched the BBC with a cup final. Always watched Grandstand. Never really a fan of Dickie Davis.
Oh, is Dickie Davis still alive?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. Phil Parks told me that Brian Moore was a West Ham fan.
Gillingham.
I know he was a director at Gillingham. But he said he was a West Ham fan because of Bobby Moore.
Was he?
I might not. I heard it was a Tottenham. So.
Oh, I'd not heard about it. I knew he was. I think he always liked West Ham.
Yeah.
But if anybody's watching, you can catch a big match revisited on Saturday mornings whenever ITV. If anyone works for ITV, listens, can you sort the scheduling out? Yeah. It ain't hard. Put it on once a week. That's all we need. An hour, a big match.
I don't even have an aerial, so.
You don't need an aerial. You watch it on catch up, you idiot.
Yeah, I know that now, but that's all I've got. I ain't got the internet. I don't have an aerial.
I don't know if this person's posting for the first time. I've not really seen his name before. Welcome to the club, Scott George Smallman. Oh, I don't know if it's Smallman.
Oh, we know Mr. Smallman.
Is it? Can I just point out, Teesside University alumni, I'd like to say hello to you. Not that I ever went to university, but that's where my brother went. Even though it was called Middlesbrough Polytechnic back then. But still, very fond memories of Middlesbrough and what a wonderful town it is, people. And I'm being entirely serious there. And until you spent proper time in Middlesbrough, you don't get the wonder at the delights of it. And there's some bad sides, but there's some lovely bits to it as well. Normally the road out. Scott George Smallman goes on. He says, for me, the big issue, apart from being a magazine, obviously, is their comments and attitude, mostly Sullivan. He generally believes Gold's a fan and wants the best. Is that true, Sean? We don't care. But he's a silent partner. Sullivan has very little to do in the club's running and play. We said we don't care. Sullivan slagging off players under contract like Snodgrass. Kids begged me not to sign him.
Oh, come on,
move on. Yeah, move on. I'm moving on. Charlie Austin, no knee ligaments. It may have been true, but not for you to comment on me in that way. Bringing players down in training, telling the manager I've signed this player for you, use him, interfering in squad dynamics. I take issue to, he don't like Sullivan. He takes issue to Sullivan acting like he's a fan. Brady's a businesswoman, her job's to make the club self-sustaining. Well, she's not very good at that, really, is she? George, Scott, whatever. But football isn't that. She's never pretended to be a fan, so her decisions are bleak, just as brutal, ruthless. He's less enraged by it. He then goes back on to Sullivan about his arrogance and stupidity and how it's damaged the image, reputation of the club and brought the worst out in the minority of people. He said, I've been a bold supporter and never really considered himself GSB out, but selling Diang broke it for me. The arrogance, illusion that he knows what he's doing. I fell for the dream of leaving the bowling. It was falling apart. Oh, we'll fall out, son. Needed urgent care, but it was home. Falling apart, three stands, all built within 20 years before we left. Don't say it to me, it was falling apart, mate. London Stadium just feels like a neutral ground, which it does. It'll take longer to feel like home, which it will. But right now, it's like going to Wembley. It don't matter how much you dress it up, it's not ours.
Why did you ask this question, Nigel? We're never going to get a bed tonight.
Well, no, we've got about three or four left. We see him, innit? Keep going off tangent. Old Mr. Bleeding Stilton. Steve Brooker says
Crumbled Stilton.
Oh, there you go. See?
Oh, yeah.
Steve Brooker won't pay the PPV. As for GSB, I was originally convinced by him that the move was for the best and would compete at a top level. He's fed up with the poor signings, no strategy in the window, and selling players for pittance. See, and this is why I've asked the question, because technically the club could change and stop, you know, stop with the poor signings. They can change the strategy and they can stop selling players for pittance. Would Steve then not be GSB out? Some people just, we're a lost cause. But for many, you know, it's a chink of light. He says he loves the show, especially Len and Shedman Nigel.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve Booker. Brady out!
Brady out.
GSB out. Ziggy Stardust.
Hello, Dave.
Evening all. This is my biggest gripe about the board is their lack of knowledge where running a football club is concerned. Mentions the scouting system again, lack of understanding with the fans, and he won't do the PPV. He said out of principle. It's a question for me. He said, you mentioned DJ Rusher played the Bubbles B-side. I do. He said, what was your favourite version? Mine was always the one in the early 80s with the March of the Mods midway through. And Bill Renfrey, God bless Bill Renfrey, would announce, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's Bubbles time. My favourite version is the 1975 Cup Team version, to be fair. With the B-side on it, which is West Ham United. Remember when we used to do our podcast and had that as a theme tune before Tom Killjoy said, you can't play that?
He was right, though, wasn't he? Right.
Still, anyway, still a Killjoy. Len.
Yes,
mate? If you could draw anyone as a feature-length cartoon, who would it be?
I've already done it. God's Own Striker, Dave Cross.
There you go. There you go, Dave. Psycho. Alan Woody would ask, sit! I don't agree with PPV being so expensive, but we'll reluctantly pay it in order to watch. He's got a question for finances, Sean, if you want to answer it.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. How full does the ground need to be for it to be profitable for us to play a match?
Zero. Well, it's profitable. We have to pay $100,000 a match, whether there's people in there or not. Here's the funny thing. So,
it's better be funny because earlier in the show you said this was funny and it weren't.
Well, we're still paying money, $100,000 equivalent, $100,000 a game, whether the people are in there or not. None of the running fees are ours. So, the simple answer is, any supporters will give us some money, because unlike anyone else, there's no cost of paying for the stewards or anything else. Someone else pays for it. So in some ways, the London Stadium and their owners are quids in at the moment. They're saving money because it costs them money to put on West Ham games when there's actual crowds there. There you go. So one supporter is the answer.
There you go. Dave Sperry, short and sweet, GSB out because they're incompetent. Only two more people. Hello, good people. It's the Colonel Sanders. He's GSB out because I just don't think they have the best interests of the club at heart. Move was a disaster. All to increase the future sale price of the club world. The only thing that's gone up is the share price. The lack of investment in the team in real terms, a reduction in experience on match day, seating allocation, catering, Brady, poor transport, poor stewarding. The list goes on and on and on and on. He'll be watching the game and donating to his local food bank in Oxford. God bless you, Paul Sanders. Well done. Last, but definitely not least, it's Auntie Penn.
Auntie Penn.
No, Auntie Penn.
Won't be supporting PPV, but we'll donate to the food bank as usual. As for GSB, it's quite simple. Don't interfere with the role of the manager and let him manage. Put money up for transfers and stop trying to do things on the cheap. That's just two things. She'll leave it to the others because she knows they more. And she don't want to get cramped writing. And thus endeth Facebook question time. Last couple of weeks, people have kindly tweeted me. I'm just double checking.
While you're doing that, just play this.
Heavy touch there by Socek, but he's still able to keep it in. Soufal in towards Antonio. Oh, that's brilliant! What a goal from Mikel Antonio! Excellent ball in. And Mikel Antonio with a spectacular goal to make it West Ham 1, Manchester City 0.
There's a ball in from Sufel.
There you go.
There you go. Nothing on Twitter. Apart from my tweet of, did you see the Arsenal fan TV bloke? Bloods, or whatever his name is. Troops. Did you see his...
I thought he got sacked or something, didn't he?
No, he was back. No.
Claude.
There's a video of him. They've done the watch-along. And... I don't know if we can pick this up.
You know me, I've got no time for watch-alongs at all.
I'm not getting the watch-along. Maybe it's a younger generation thing.
I don't get it.
Listen.
Are we listening to what?
Can you hear him?
No. No.
Oh, right.
You need to do it like you need to download an MP3. Don't put this stuff to the phone. It just doesn't work over podcasts.
All right, no. Well, anyway, go and have a look at it, because I'll tell you now.
You come back with Super Six, I see.
The man is an absolute disgrace. He's calling all the Arsenal players every name under the sun. And the reason why it's a disgrace, because they sing and chant when the players play well. And last 3 minutes, Arsenal were losing to Leicester and he's just cursing them off. And if you can't take the good times, don't do that with the bad times. So if you want to support the team, if you want to support the team when you're doing well, yeah, please make sure you don't watch a film when we're losing 3-0 after 16 minutes, people. That's all I've got to say.
Now, all I'll say is, right, the reason these things exist is for controversy. It's content. We've talked about this before. Don't take them too seriously. It's content. It's controversy for the sake of content.
No.
Simple as that.
People were making money off the back of that. And Arsenal fans should be doing more to embarrass that prick, because that's what he is.
I feel quite strongly about that. Right. Predictions. Liverpool.
Two apiece. Desmond.
All right. Nigel.
I went for 4-0 loss last week, and I'm thinking, has it done so well? I will go the same way.
I'll just see what's going on with Spurs and Burnley. So bottom Burnley.
It's a bottom Burnley.
Spurs after 64 minutes. I'll go for a 1-0 away win and to upset the Liverpudlians in their tier 3 lockdown. I've been Sean. Nigel has been.
You forgot Super 6, Sean, or did you not want to mention
no,
it this week?
No, don't do it this week. We'll do it next week, like you said last week.
That's right.
Nigel has been. Yeah. Nigel has been.
Yeah, whatever.
Len has been.
Keen to get this over with. At 2 hours and 70 minutes.
That's
and
too long.
Seconds.
Too long.
Yeah, you rambled on.
Too long talking about GSB, that's for sure. Yeah.
And too long
talking. Life's too short.
Come on, you wins. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
Radio.
Heavy touch there by Socek, but he's still able to keep it in. Soufal in towards Antonio. Oh, that's brilliant! What a goal from Mikel Antonio! Excellent ball in. And Mikel Antonio with a spectacular goal to make it West Ham 1, Manchester City 0.
There's a ball in from Soufal. Look at this, the strength to hold off Diaz. He holds him off and then he just... Look at that. That is absolutely first-class, world-class finishing.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.